If you are a hyperactive ADHD mum, you don't need any accountability. You already have a slave driver, and it's you. So what we need is to strip it back, make it more simple, and remove the guilt and the perfectionism, and get back to what's important. First up, my personal values clarification exercise. This will stop you doing the same thing over and over and wondering why you didn't get a different result. It is quick, it is simple, it is ready to implement straight away. The next part is the essential de-stress planner for hyperactive mums. You can pick these up, put these down, start anytime. It won't guilt trip you if you forget that it exists for a week. Use it to brain dump the chaos, prioritize like a boss, and stop pretending that you'll just remember everything in your head. One of the things I got sick of was reflecting at the end of the day and thinking of all the things that were really important to me that I didn't do. These resources are 100% fluff-free and made for the ADHD mum life. They're cheaper than therapy and far more satisfying than yelling at your microwave for ruining your fourth attempt at reheating coffee. This isn't about perfection. You need something that works with your life, not against you. Grab your copy now at adhdmums.com.au. And all of the links will be in the show notes.
Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today we have the follow-up to the episode, which was the gendered load of routine and responsibility, why the imbalance exists and why we don't say anything. This is part three of the part three mini-series around mental load. Now, this episode today is resentment in neurodivergent relationships, tools and strategies to build balance and connection in your relationship. There can be issues around the mental load, who is doing what, and basically in a partnership, both of you can feel completely burnt out and spent. If you are parenting neurodivergent children, you probably both are exhausted. And it's so easy to look at the other person and go, you're not doing enough. If you had have done this differently, that wouldn't have happened. But often both of you are running on empty. Now, if you're somebody that would love to share this episode with a partner, absolutely go for it. I'm going to record this in a way that I'm hoping it will be a way of educating and building understanding for partners, and a way of bridging that gap if the neurodivergent mum is struggling to communicate some of these concepts. If you're a partner listening, thank you for being here. This is always for the ADHD mum, but I want to make this something that you can share if needed. This is not going to be about blame. This is not going to be pointing fingers. This is going to be about understanding the unique challenges that the ADHD mum faces, and this is going to be about finding a way forward for you as a team. This episode is primarily going to talk about the heterosexual relationship between a male and a female, but of course it could be used interchangeably throughout any gender. I absolutely acknowledge that there is lots of different ways to have relationships. I'm using those terms just for ease of talking. Now, there are so many studies around divorce, and you know, you see the articles or the blog stuff sometimes from family lawyers who talk about what are the indicators of people that get divorced, and resentment is usually high up there in terms of this is one of the indicators in relationships. Resentment is a little bit like a cancer in a relationship, I think. I think it can start small and it starts to build, and it's only a negative, I think. We definitely want to jump in before resentment builds. If it has already built, there is a pathway out, right? And resentment can happen quickly when both parties are exhausted. Parenting neurodivergent children is tough. The divorce rate on parents of neurodivergent children or parents of children with additional needs, we know, is higher. So it's not necessarily that one person's doing everything and the other person is doing nothing, but it can feel like the other partner has it better than what you do. That can be there, and it can build slowly, and it can be under layers of invisible tasks, things that don't get noticed, emotional exhaustion, and just basic unmet needs. That's the breeding ground for resentment. Now, for neurodivergent mums, it's not just about who's doing the dishes, who picked up the kids. It's actually the emotional part to it around feeling unseen, feeling unsupported, or sometimes that we're carrying a mental load that just no one even notices is happening. But here's the thing. If you felt like this, you're not alone. Relatable story for the ADHD mums and for the partners out there. I remember a mum in our Facebook community who shared a really familiar story. It's a very standard story about the mental load and how it felt for her. She said, I was juggling everything, meal prep, school emails, therapies for my youngest, and I was trying to keep the house running. But one day my partner said to me, why didn't you get the car serviced? I froze. I couldn't believe that on top of everything else, He just noticed the one thing I hadn't done. She admitted that she flew off at her husband and she got angry and she was quite cutting in her response. Now, if we take a moment to see it from his perspective, he may not know all of the mental load that she was under, the pressure she was under. From his point of view, he may have even meant that in a helpful way. Like, oh, the car hasn't been serviced. We should get that done. He may have framed that wrongly, which would have inflamed the situation for sure. But it was about her feeling unseen for everything that she was doing, whilst he focused on what she wasn't and the way that that was delivered as her task that didn't get done. When she's navigating all of this, why did he mention that? Why couldn't he do it? He could have felt from his point of view that was being collaborative. He was reminding her. He didn't mean for it to be her job. And he may be like, wow, well, I'm actually going through a lot too. I've got a lot on myself. And now you're yelling at me about a comment I made about get the car serviced. And he may think, oh my God, I can't say anything. I'm walking on eggshells. She's angry with me no matter what. I can't win. And this dialogue and resentment and the lack of communication can stem from a situation like this or multiple, where both parties don't understand the frustrations from either side. It's a story that many of us can relate to because the resentment isn't just about what someone does or doesn't do. From the ADHD mum, it can feel like they are invisible. It is all of the unseen and the unappreciated. Unfortunately, children aren't particularly appreciative. The ADHD mum might get the only appreciation that she gets is from her partner. And when he doesn't see what she's doing, it can cut deep. So it can be a lot on the partner because he may make an innocent comment, not know what she's going through because it's not communicated, and then get what he feels is an emotional, angry response back to him for something he thinks is quite small. So let's talk about the challenges from the neurodivergent mum perspective. We have invisible labour overload. We have managing therapy schedules possibly. We've got teacher meetings. We have some sensory needs. And we've got a lot of executive function challenges. Now, if that sounds like a lot of words that's not really specific, let's get specific. You have a child that's going through the diagnosis process. You've got pharmacy demands. You've got GP appointments. You've got teachers. You've got kindy. You've got early intervention. You might have NDIS appointments. One of your children particularly has got some sensory needs around food. They have to have this particular food or they won't eat. You may have a lot of school newsletter stuff. You might have sports. What's for dinner? Rent, mortgage repayments, electricity, water, tax, multiple bank accounts. You may have loans, financial pressures, stress, budgeting, credit cards to pay off. Those are just the things to begin with. And if you are juggling all of those things, that can be a lot. And remember, if you have an ADHD mum in those types of jobs, they can feel really hard, unrewarding, and difficult to do. Then you've got to step from that. If you have the neurodivergent mum that's doing that, you can also have the exhaustion from trying to do it all, but then also masking their own ADHD or autistic traits. They may be trying to look like they've got it all together at the pediatricians or to the school, trying to do the family meals, trying to do the family get-togethers. And there can be this feeling of like a duck on the top of the water with all of the little legs going underneath, feeling like I just am exhausted. There's been periods of my life where I've been like every single moment of every single day is filled with not one thing a minute, 17,000 things a minute. I can't finish a thought. I haven't been to the toilet by myself for weeks. It is like overwhelming layer on layer on layer of stress. That can be the reality of a lot of ADHD mums, particularly if they're hyperactive and they have a lot of cognitive hyperactivity. What that means is there's a lot of thoughts that go, 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 go. Now, those thoughts aren't necessarily positive. They can be like a slave driver in the background. You didn't pay this, you didn't do this, you didn't do this. Go, 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 go. It can be this huge nervous system overload. On top of that, you've got guilt and shame. There's this expectation to be the perfect mum, but also they're going to struggle to be the perfect mum because they have neurodivergent children possibly and they have a neurodivergent neurotype. So what are the chances of them coming across like the perfect mum? Probably fairly slim because there's so many more steps to having them look all together, let alone be all together, and their children may be developmentally delayed, which means they have to scaffold them longer. So if you have kids that are still not putting their dishes in the dishwasher or getting their own drinks, and that's developmentally inappropriate, you're like, why can you not do this yet? Other people's kids can. You're also going to be doing a lot more for your children if they're neurodiverse for a lot longer. You might have delayed toilet training. There can be a lot there. Now, when we talk about cognitive hyperactivity, that may mean that the ADHD mum may be having a lot of conversations in her head. She may not be having them out loud. So one of the things that neurodivergent people sometimes do is that they don't do the planning part well. From a partner perspective, they may not actually see the invisible labour. They don't know how to help. They don't know how to step in. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And they don't know how to prioritise well, particularly if they are neurodivergent themselves. So if you have an ADHD or neurodivergent partner, for them, in their mind, they may go back to things that they know how to do when they feel their partner's stressed out. Now, that might look like yard work, mowing the lawn, maintenance on the house, cleaning gutters, and random tasks. Now, for a neurodivergent mum, that may look like, I'm really stressed out inside and I need you to help me in here. But yet the partner is out doing something unrelated. That's how it looks like to the ADHD mum. For the partners, they are doing what they know, and that is their contribution attempting to help you. That is coming from the best place. They're like, I'm helping, I'm doing stuff. I don't know what to do, and I know you want me to do stuff, and you're not being specific, so I'm going to be doing stuff. Okay, let's move on to a couple of the themes that I'm going to be using here. First up is the invisible tax. What I want to talk about firstly is neurodivergent mums. They kind of experience a dual layered reality. Like, there's often two layers to their reality. The first one is that the fairly standard universal demands of parenting, which are nothing to be dismissed because neurotypical mums struggle too with so many of the demands of parenting. But also they're overwhelmed and made worse by the overwhelming impact of the neurodevelopmental challenges of ADHD or of autism, PTSD, whatever neurotype they have, they are dealing with a neurodevelopmental challenge, and that often represents in executive function. If you don't know what executive function is, and a lot of people don't know what it is, it's basically the skill set that you have that helps people plan, solve problems, and adapt to new situations. So we're talking about attention on a task, working memory to hold the information in your mind, plan out the steps, problem solve the issues, emotionally regulate throughout that, control your impulses, and then to actually go through with the task. People with ADHD are going to struggle with executing tasks, particularly if they're not interesting. So what we're really talking about here is like cleaning a bathroom. An ADHD mom or person can really struggle with that because there's so many steps. All of them aren't interesting. You don't really want to do it. And then you actually have to break it down and figure out where to start, what to prioritize, when to do it. The executive functioning can be an issue. Sensory processing. So you might have ADHD mums or partners with a sensory profile. If you're new to ADHD and neurodivergence, it basically means how the brain receives and responds to your environment. So you might have somebody that is much more upset by bright lights, by noise. This is all going to be adding layers to an ADHD mum or partner or kids. Then there's the emotional regulation part, where we know that emotional regulation within people with ADHD and kids isn't going to be challenging. It can be challenging for them to control anxious thoughts, stress, to navigate complex conversations, to not get really upset. Some people go into anger really quickly. Some people cry. Like, it can look really different. So there's really that two places to it. There's the just general demands, but then you've got, on the other hand, the impact of these neurodevelopmental challenges that are going to make the demands of parenting harder. And the invisible tax part is basically that a lot of this mental load that is traditionally in the demands of parenting and motherhood is often placed on the mother's shoulders. But because it takes her longer to do the things, it's harder for her to do the things. She's going to struggle with doing these tasks, getting motivated. They're going to feel really hard. They're going to take longer. They're not rewarding. Often a lot of these tasks don't get rewarded. They just get called out when something's wrong. So the child will go, "You didn't pack my lunch today." The school will ring, "Your child doesn't have a hat again." And it's just like the calling out of the things that didn't work rather than all of the other things that they did do, which can be really difficult to navigate. So when we talk about the mental load, an ADHD mum can feel particularly ripped off when they have all of those challenges around the universal demands of parenting, but they have a neurodevelopmental condition that's going to make it really challenging to do those things on top of work and everything else. This is no one's fault. This episode is not for partnerships where there is a control element or a get back to the kitchen vibe. This is for two people that are struggling to understand each other. And in that situation, it's nobody's fault necessarily, but it's that society's view that this is the way that things are, the way that we were brought up, the way that sometimes male partners have been brought up in a traditional setting. But for a neurodivergent male partner, they may have moved from home to relationship and they may not have ever learned these skills. Now, that's not to excuse them, but I just want to sit in compassion for a moment that if this is the first time you're talking to your partner about this, there may be a skills gap. And I think we need to be aware of that because it's not necessarily that they don't want to help, but that we may have to break it right down for them. We've just talked about how there's the dual impact of neurodevelopmental challenges on women. We are also going to have neurodevelopmental challenges on men. But I think the question is really, how can we share those tasks, working to our strengths, not to excuse anybody? But for neurodivergent mums, the burden and some of that rage, if I can call it mum rage, can be really amplified by this constant effort that is required to mask, compensate, and organize in a way to look like you have it together or to meet a neurotypical standard, which might be really hard for you if you are in a neurodivergent household. So the mental load is about remembering the school forms, planning the meals, yes. But if we take it a step deeper for neurodivergent mums, it can also be navigating the sensory overload. Volunteering at the disco when you're noise sensitive, you've forgotten your earplugs, you don't feel like you can use them and you're just overloaded. Or managing your own child's neurodivergence, trying to really scaffold them. For example, you're going to a family lunch, you need to pack all the foods that you know they'll eat because you're concerned that they won't eat the foods that are there. All this planning takes a toll. Resentment can really start to arise when the ADHD mum, if she's taking on this load, is doing these things but without communicating it to their partner. They then fly off the handle, but their partner's like, "I didn't even know you were like, what are you even talking about?" The plan may not have even been communicated. Now, one thing that we can really do to make this clear and to really bring this up so the partners can see it is to make this obvious. When we talk about invisible load, great. What is a quick way, partners, that we can make something visible? If your wife or your partner is talking about invisible load, my mental load, you're like, "I don't even know what she's talking about." Okay, great. Let's write this down. Now, ADHD mums, this is not about shoving and dump trucking onto your partner. We're not doing this in a passive aggressive way. This episode is meant to be teamwork. So I would categorize the tasks into immediate, weekly, and back burner, and show your contributions. If you are managing insurance but you only pay it once a year, you might put that in ad hoc. So look at what your weekly load is, plus your immediate, plus your back burner, plus your yearly or monthly, however you want to task it up, show it. Write down what it is that you are doing. Because when ADHD mums say things like, "Your life would explode if you knew what I was doing," a lot of partners I've noticed are quite practical people. They're like, "Well, give me a job." That's their response, "Give me a job." The mum doesn't even know what job they want done at that point because they're so overwhelmed. And let's have some conversations before that time. For example, in a space and time where you are not angry or enraged, and not when you are in a passive aggressive moment, when you are feeling connected, share with each other in a note system or Google Drive, however it is that you want to do, or an app, what it is that you are both doing. So you might start to take that invisible load and make it more visible. So when we're doing that, we're talking shared systems, task boards, calendars, You might have a quick family meeting. You might put it out on G Drive. You might have your weekly check-in to see how everybody's going. You might enjoy as well shared systems like task boards, digital calendars. You might track tasks in apps, or, you know, you might find it easier to have that weekly meeting, write it on paper. What is it that's going to work for both of you? And this is not long family meetings that go for 2 hours. It might just be quick, short, sharp, little chats. Make sure in those discussions you celebrate the wins. ADHD brains, we like to just focus on the next thing without celebrating the win. Celebrate the wins. ADHD mums, if you're trying to get your partner on board and he's actively trying to help you, make sure you say well done. Let's not sit in that phase where we go, I shouldn't have to thank my partner, he should. Yeah, I get that. I agree with you. But it's not about thanking, it's about acknowledging. If you have somebody that's actively making changes, actively asking you what they can do to help, doing all of those things, it's just about managing a team. I like to run my family like a sporting team. I like to be the coach. My partner is the assistant coach, mainly because I have more of the load on the mental load. I see the full picture. He's more of my assistant in terms of he's there with me. He gets the strategy. I tell him what the go is, but his level of anticipation is always there. We don't need two head coaches. So acknowledging the assistant coach is important. Or if your partner wants to step up and be co-coaches with you and that works for you, for both of you to be across the big plan, great. Acknowledge your team members, including children. What did your kids do well? What did they help with? What did you do well? This is not about thanking people for jobs they should be doing. This is about acknowledging that everybody's doing their best. You might identify jobs that nobody wants to do that you could easily outsource. Like when you start to write it down, you can actually start to look at what it is that you are doing, what you can outsource, what you can budget for, what you can help each other with. It may be that the ADHD mum does not realise actually how much time that their partner is putting into this, this, and this. And possibly you can look at, I didn't know that that was taking you so long. I actually am able to help in this way, or let's outsource this. Let's put some savings towards this. How can I help? So you might start to take that invisible load and make it more visible. So when we're doing that, we're talking shared systems, task boards, calendars. You might have a quick family meeting. You might put it out on G Drive. You might have your weekly check-in to see how everybody's going. You might enjoy as well shared systems like task boards, digital calendars. And when we talk about mental load, we want to have a look at if you are both going to the supermarket, you are both thinking about dinner, and then you're both deciding on the day, that means that you are both getting decision fatigue around deciding what to have for dinner every single day. Maybe you should just have a weekly family check-in and decide that then. So then there's no discussion. Everybody knows what's happening. And that mental load, if you decide to go, okay, you'll cook one night, I'll cook one night, or someone else will cook, however you do it, you don't have to then have the load if you're not the one cooking that night. So then you actually have a day off of the thinking of it. And often when women talk about the mental load, they talk about doing the whole job. So for partners, if it's your night to cook, that doesn't mean calling the wife at 6 o'clock and going, what should I cook? What she's talking about is she's talking about you looking in the fridge, figuring it out, making sure the stuff is there. Or maybe you just have that conversation on the Sunday night and you go, okay, well, in the online shop that you do or I do, let's get everything then. So you already know what's in the fridge. These family meetings and check-ins are not designed to be hours long. No one wants to spend their weekend like having a meeting. Like, how painful does that sound? But I'm talking about setting 10 to 15 minutes aside a week just to talk about how the week is going to go. ADHD mums, if you don't communicate what the plan for the week is, you may find you don't get help. Give them specific things. I need you to stop at the pharmacy on the way home. Or I need you to manage the kids' medications. I need you to be in charge of pediatrician appointments. I need you to be in charge of football, of soccer, and I need you to manage the whole thing, and I don't want to be communicated to on the app. If your partner is taking over soccer for this year, for example, don't give your email and phone number to the soccer people as a backup. Let them do the task themselves. and be aware they may do it differently to you and in a different time frame. If you are giving your partner, for example, taking out the rubbish, sometimes partners really want to help, but they don't know how. And the ADHD mum is so overwhelmed, she doesn't even know where to begin. If you feel like that is like not even in the realms of possibility, maybe you've tried to have the conversations before, it hasn't worked, or you're so overwhelmed, like that conversation is not achievable for you right now, that's okay. What I would consider doing is using a therapist or a coach or somebody to facilitate the discussion to start with. So if you need to use a third party, that is not a failure. That's a real positive. I would recommend that absolutely if you can afford it. Now, if you feel like you can have those conversations and maybe you're writing out what each other are doing and you're trying to break it back up, I love the mental load cards. I can put in a link to that in my show notes. It's not sponsored. I just did it with my husband. I loved it. If you'd like to do the mental load cards, it's a great structure. It's not neurodivergent focused. It's neurotypical. So when you're breaking up the house tasks or you're looking at making some changes, whatever it is that you're doing, just consider the strengths in each partner. If you've got somebody that's awful at doing one like particular thing, or they hate doing one particular thing, probably best not to give them that job. So have a look at neurodivergence. Have a look at sensory needs. For example, if someone hates shopping, don't give them shopping or do online. If you've got somebody that is really awful at doing a particular job, don't give them that part. So we're trying to set people up to win, and we're looking at outsourcing whatever we don't have capacity for. So if you are dividing up mental load tasks, make sure that you're giving away the tasks that you don't mind being done in a bit of a different way to you, or they aren't really crucial about something that you care a lot about that if your partner does differently, you will be upset. Or give really specific direction around it and make sure you're really clear breaking down what that is. Now, this is a really interesting one because what taking out the rubbish means to one person might be different to the way someone else looks at it. So if I'm saying take out the rubbish, what I mean is when the bin gets smelly and it's halfway full, take it out then. They may be thinking, I'm waiting for it to be full and overflowing and smelling and creating maggots, then I will take it out. Because then as the ADHD mum, you might have the experience that your partner is not doing it quick enough. They're not doing the job because you have to do it because you're not giving them time and space to do it. If you really have to have it done when it's halfway full, tell them that. But if people have different ideas about the way the job is done, that can where it can be tricky. If you are giving over a job, you do need to be clear if there's a deal breaker or if they have to have it done by a particular time. So have a look at that in terms of mental load, because you want to have a look at what you're breaking up and how you're doing it and playing to everybody's strengths, and look at outsourcing as well to make sure that this is things that nobody wants to do and you can afford it, outsource them. If you cannot afford it, look at working more to outsource some things. So you might be happier to work an extra couple of hours at work to pay for a cleaner. Think about creatively how you can do it. This is about sharing the load so everything runs better and helps both of you. No one wants to feel like they're failing their partner, they're dropping the ball. If there's one thing I hope that you take away from this episode, it is not about blame, it's about awareness and teamwork. Sharing the mental load is not about splitting everything 50-50. It's not a competition. It's just about being on a team. It's about noticing what needs to be done and stepping in when you see it. And more importantly, respecting that there is invisible work from both parties and it is exhausting. Here's a challenge. Pay attention this week. Notice the little things that just magically happen. Both partners talk about what's been weighing them down lately. If one person brings something up, listen. You don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to explain. Just hear them out. The conversation brings up bigger feelings, frustration, overwhelm, and resentment. That's okay. That means it matters, and that means it's worth working on. At the end of the day, there isn't a winner. There isn't a loser. It's about making life better for both of you. And when the mental load is shared, everyone wins. Your partner is going to be less exhausted. Your house is going to run smoother. And yes, your relationship is going to improve. If this episode hits home, share it with your partner. Use it as a starting point for your own conversation. Jump into the Facebook group, share your experience. I hope this was helpful for you. Thank you so much and see you next time.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.